Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we take a look at the ADAPT study to see how children are affected by deployments, and we learn about the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon Network and the Welcome Home Troops Pheasant Hunt. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
September 18th marks the birthday of the United States Air Force, the Aerial Warfare Service Branch of the United States Armed Forces. World War II was over for 2 years, and the Korean War lay 3 years ahead when the Air Force ended a 40-year association with the United States Army to become a separate service. The Air Force was formed as a separate branch of the military under the National Security Act of 1947, signed by President Harry S. Truman. The mission of the United States Air Force is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace. To achieve that mission, they have a vision of global vigilance, reach, and power. That vision relies on three core competencies: developing airmen, developing warfighting technology, and integrating operations. The Air Force has come a long way since its formation in 1947, and I am confident we'll see its progress even further in our generation and generations to come. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now from the University of Minnesota is Abby Gortz, the Associate Professor in the Department of Family Social Science and the Institute of Child Development, and First Lieutenant Thad Skunkweiler, who is the outreach director over there, and he's also a 12-year veteran in the Minnesota Army National Guard. Abby, Lieutenant, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Abby, you are the associate professor in charge of a project called ADAPT. Can you tell me what that is?
That's correct, Tom. Thanks for asking. ADAPT stands for After Deployment Adaptive Parenting Tools, and it's a study that aims to understand how military families are resilient and to provide useful tools to help parents through the deployment process.
Now, can you tell me, you're an associate professor at the university, how did you come up with this project and how long you've been at the university and how did you get here?
Yeah, that's a good question because, as you can hear, I'm not from Fargo.
I didn't think so.
About 5 years ago, a colleague of mine at the VA, Dr. Melissa Polozny, and I were talking. She has run a longstanding study called RINGS, Resilience in National Guard Soldiers.
We had her on the show and talked about that study.
Great.
Fascinating.
Well, one of the things that Melissa found early on was that soldiers who expressed a lot of concerns before they deployed tended not to do as well when they were deployed as soldiers who expressed a lot of confidence in their home life. And she and I began talking. My research focuses on parenting and kids' resilience, and I'm really interested in how we can support families who are under stress. I've been doing that for about 15 years. So we got together and we decided that we would try and learn what we could from the families that she was studying. And that out of that came ADAPT. About 2 years ago, I submitted a proposal to the National Institutes of Health, which they funded. And this project, which will last 5 years, will be the first project that we know of to really understand about parenting after deployment.
And how deployments affect both parents, I would assume.
How deployment affects both parents and how parenting can support kids' resilience after deployment. So the goal is not just to prod and poke, as my colleague over here, Thad, talks about, but really to test useful tools to support parenting after deployment.
And Lieutenant, can you tell us what's your position and what's your part in this project?
Sure, absolutely. So my mission on this project is to be the outreach manager, to go out and encourage families and educate families about parenting after deployment and invite them to participate in our study.
And do you do that? I would think you'd be great at that since you're a member of the Minnesota Army National Guard. You know a lot of the folks that have been deployed. Does that help you with this project?
It sure does, Tom. So my job is to go out. You may have seen me at the reintegration events or at your events before you deploy. I give parenting workshops for service members to give them some practical tools to take with them either before the deployment or after the deployment, at the same time educating them about our study and encouraging their participation.
Sounds fascinating. Now, Abby, you've pulled all this together. You say you're federally funded. Is that right?
Correct.
And how long have you been working on this now?
We're in our second year, Tom. We've have about 110 families involved so far, and we will be recruiting 400 families from the Twin Cities metro area and way beyond, we hope.
When you started this, did you have some specific assumptions that you made and some things that you were looking for when you started talking to the families?
Yes, that's exactly right, Tom. We assume that military families are resilient, and we assume that strong families mean strong soldiers, sailors, and airmen, and Marines. We assume that strong parenting, effective parenting, makes for resilient kids, kids who display fewer stress-related behaviors after their parents come back from deployment. Deployment's a tough thing. You're away for a really long time. Our Army guardsmen have deployed on average in these conflicts 2.2 times for an average about 12 months each. If you have kids, that's more than 2 years away from your kids. And in the lives of young children, that's an awful long time.
Yeah, I'm sure that some of the younger children forget.
Forget or never even knew their parents until they return from deployment. And we have, Thad talked a little bit about the parenting workshops that we provide, during which we learn more, I think, than we can contribute, and the wisdom of parents in terms of the kinds of things they tell their children about deployment and the ways they communicate during deployment and the incredible efforts they go to retain the relationship with their kids so that they can be stronger during and after deployment has been really overwhelming, and nobody knows about it. And it's our goal to let the community know about those incredible efforts.
We're speaking with Abby Goertz and Thad Schunkweiler from the University of Minnesota about the ADAPT project. Abby, I'm fascinated when you go to get funding for a project like this, you must have to do a lot of paperwork and think through what it is that you're trying to accomplish and prove that it's a worthy project. How tough was that?
That's exactly right. You know, you go in and you ask for over $3 million. They're not going to give it to you unless they are absolutely sure that what you're offering is a unique contribution. About 8-10% of proposals submitted almost entirely by people in universities and research institutions get funded. So it's a pretty tough process. It's a peer-reviewed process, which means that it's other scientists who are judging your work and making sure that it's fund-worthy. So they don't fund a project unless they can be really pretty sure that it's going to provide a lasting contribution to our knowledge base. And in this case, there isn't a large knowledge base about parenting in military families after deployment.
And how long did it take you to go through that funding process?
We were incredibly fortunate. We got funded first time, which means it only took about 9 months.
Only 9 months?
Only 9 months from the day we handed the proposal in. Of course, you go through multiple tries beforehand, typically, because, of course, if only 8% of the proposals are going to get funded, you've got to be willing to persist at this. But in our case, we knew this was a really important and unique contribution because it simply didn't exist. There are no, as far as we know, there are no parenting programs that specifically target reserve component families that have been shown to be effective in the U.S. military.
And it just so happens that in the last 10 years in the state of Minnesota, there have been multiple deployments all over the world and a perfect spot for you to take a look at this problem and to analyze it and see what we can learn.
You got it.
Abby, Thad, we have to take a short break. We'll be back and talk more about the ADAPT project in just a moment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I have two guests today from the University of Minnesota, Abby Goertz and Thad Schunkweiler, who were working on the ADOPT project. Thad, we forgot to ask you at the end of the first segment, if our listeners are interested in participating in this study and learning how they can get some help with parenting, where do they go?
Sure. So if families want to participate or just want to learn more information about what we're doing, I would really encourage them to send me an email at adapt@umn.edu or give us a call at 612-624-4830.
Thanks, Lieutenant. Abby, in the first segment, we talked a little bit about the Ring study. And did you use some of the results from that study to help you with your assumptions and help you to figure out what you wanted to do with ADAPT?
Yes, that's exactly right, Tom. And that's how research happens, you know, incrementally. You find something and then you find something else and then you build that up. So what we did was Melissa was surveying a large group of soldiers who were in Iraq and was really interested in how adjustment when they were in theater was associated with adjustment when they came back home. And what we did was we asked the parents in the study, 468 of them, all fathers, when they came back about a year after they had first been surveyed in Iraq, so about almost a year after returning home, we asked them about their parenting. And we just said, we asked them several questions about challenges and good things in parenting. And what we found was that soldiers who suffered from combat stress more were the same soldiers who reported real difficulties in parenting. And that's not at all surprising because one of the things that combat stress does is it makes it really challenging to deal with highly emotional stuff. And if families are anything, they can be highly emotional. We express emotions in our families that we don't express elsewhere.
Now, as I recall from the Ring study, Melissa was telling us that it was more than just parenting, but what they discovered in that first Ring study was that the soldiers that she studied that had any kind of family problems or issues back home were more prone to post-traumatic stress and some other problems.
Right.
And she was going to do a follow-up study with the 1st Brigade
right.
and take that a little deeper.
That's right.
So you actually built on what you've learned from the Ring study to figure out what you wanted to accomplish with the ADAPT project.
Right. They're learning a lot about, for example, couples. I mean, families comprise parents, couples, children, all kinds of small relationships inside families. We're really interested in parenting. We're really interested in how parents teach their kids to be resilient. And military families have an incredible amount to teach their children about values and strength and dealing with adversity.
Well, and we find our Minnesota military families are proud families and they don't easily ask for help or to participate in studies such as this.
That's true. That's true. But what we found is that when families find out what our study is about, they join for two reasons. One is they truly want to be able to help people going through the same things that they went through. And our study will help do that. And the second is they really want useful tools that can help them with the next deployment. And that's what ADAPT really is about. ADAPT is testing some parenting tools to strengthen families so that deployment and the reintegration after deployment can be easier for all involved in a family.
We're speaking with the two researchers from the University of Minnesota, Abby Goetz and Thad Schunkweiler, on Minnesota Military Radio. Lieutenant, as the outreach director, when I think about participating in some kind of a project at the University of Minnesota, I think about needles and going over for physical exams and all kinds of terrible things. This isn't a terrible thing, is it?
No, not at all. So when I got home from my deployment, there were several researchers in line to poke and prod at me to learn about my experience overseas. And it always felt kind of odd because it was more about them taking from me. What I've really grown to appreciate about this study, and the reason I am a strong advocate for this study, is that we're about giving more than we are about taking. Families who participate gain a lot of resources and a lot of information about parenting, at the same time contributing to us so we have a better understanding of what military families go through, so we can better prepare and better help families in the future who will go through the similar things.
And Abby, if a military family signs up to participate, what can they expect? What happens?
Yeah, great question, Tom. We'll be in touch with them. Actually, people enter the study online. So you can go online to the University of Minnesota. If you just go onto the university's website and Google Adapt, you'll come up to our website and you can just go in and see families fill out a quick screener. If they're eligible, which means they have a child between the ages of 4 and 12 and one of the parents has deployed in the last 10 or so years, they'll fill out some questionnaires, mom and dad, and then we'll schedule a time to visit with them. And we'll meet with them. We'll interview them about their experiences, and some families will be offered a group-based parenting program, and some families will be offered some other resources. And families are invited randomly to participate in one or the other.
And Abby, how many families have you interviewed, and how many do you expect to interview on the project?
We've interviewed 110 families so far, or I should say 110 families have joined the study so far. And we are on our way to 400 families. So all in all, we will include 400 families in the study.
Abby, is it fair to ask you, after interviewing 114 of them, have you learned some things already, or can't you talk about that?
We really have. I can talk about it. And one of the beauties of research is you be transparent and you talk about your research findings when you have them and when you can be confident about them. What I can tell you so far is that we have more deployed moms than we imagined who've signed up, which is really remarkable. We know next to nothing about mothers who've deployed. So about 10% of the Guard population or military population are mothers. We have about 20% in our study. At the same time, we're learning about dads. And by the way, moms have unique stresses relating to parenting and deployment. And we've been really fortunate to learn from some incredible mothers in the study. At the same time, in the broader science, child development science area, we know very little about dads. Dads don't usually feature. It's usually moms who feature. And so we're learning a lot about deployed dads and the commitment that both dads and moms make during and after deployment.
Be interesting to talk to some of the stay-at-home dads when the mom was gone.
Absolutely. We have those too.
You're having fun with this, I can tell by your smile.
We are, and I'd love to come back in a year or so's time, Tom, and share some of our findings with you.
Well, we'd love to see that report. Abby, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts about the ADAPT project?
Well, just I have to say I have never been so incredibly overwhelmed and impressed and grateful to a group of families as the families that we have been in contact with who have given graciously their time to share with our nation's military service families around the country.
And Lieutenant, any final thoughts? And once again, where do the families go that might want to participate?
Sure. So like I said previously, I think what we're doing here at the university is fantastic for the Minnesota military families. And I would encourage any family that even just wanted to know a little bit more about what we're doing to send us an email at adapt@umn.edu or give us a phone call at 612-624-4830.
Abby, Thad, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week, we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is Sergeant Krista Hansen from Blaine, Minnesota. Krista has just returned from her first tour in Iraq and Kuwait. As a human resources non-commissioned officer with the Minnesota National Guard, she was responsible for maintaining and updating the unit's personnel files and handling any administrative issues. She is also pursuing a degree in business and administration. Krista and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Krista Hansen, contact the South Minneapolis Workforce Center at 612-821-4009. That's 612-821-4009. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll speak to the member of the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon Network about how they are supporting our troops and their families. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the Yellow Ribbon Networks in Stillwater and a Welcome Home Troops Pheasant Hunt. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
thousands of United States military personnel are currently listed as prisoners of war or missing in action. One in Afghanistan, 126 from the Cold War, and nearly 1,300 from the Vietnam War, approximately 8,000 from the Korean War, and more than 73,000 prisoners of war from World War II. On September 21st, we will remember and honor these courageous veterans as our nation observes Prisoner of War Missing in Action Recognition Day. We take time to remember and pay respect to the thousands of men and women who have served in the military and through circumstances of war beyond their control have been held captive by enemy forces. On this day, the nation, along with the state of Minnesota, will echo the creed inscribed in the black and white banners that fly in honor of America's prisoners of war and missing in action. And we renew our promise to our heroes that you are not forgotten. All gave some gave all.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledeau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon Network is Mike Polina. Mike, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mike, we were scheduled today to have you on and Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. Did you lock him in a closet somewhere? He's not here.
Well, Chuck had a little confrontation with a bus while riding his bicycle and went down to injury, and he's in the hospital recuperating.
Is he going to be all right?
Oh, he should be just fine.
We're going to talk about him in the fourth segment today in the Welcome Home of the Troops Pheasants hunt that you and he are intricately involved in, so that we'll have to do a good job of it. Otherwise, Chuck will be calling in telling us that we missed something.
I'm sure he'll be critiquing our efforts.
Mike, can you tell us a little bit about the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon Network?
Well, Stillwater's got a very active group that has been working hard to support our service members since they've been deployed. We've done a lot of different things, but some of the most important things we've done is support the families of the service members that were stationed out of our armies that were killed in Iraq a few years ago. And the big effort of our group has been to support the families, do things to remember them. We've done things like the Lumberjack Days Parade in Stillwater to work with the troops to support their fellow service members, and we've had riderless horses come through the streets of Stillwater and the parade, banners to honor their memory and things like that. And it's been really gratifying to have a lot of different things like the 4th of July fireworks celebration to save places for the troops, to honor our service members at the Lumberjack Days concert. We had General Nash after he was returned from Iraq on stage. To be recognized by the citizens of Stillwater. We helped a lot of families in need, snow removal, babysitting services, things like that. And then one of the big things we've worked with is our county attorney's office in establishing a veterans court in our county to support the troops' service members as they return to from a war.
And we've had Pete on the show to discuss that program. He's the Washington County attorney.
Correct. He's just a wonderful man.
We're speaking with Mike Polina from the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Mike, for those listeners that might not have heard, there's more and more communities that have been proclaimed Yellow Ribbon. But when you were proclaimed a couple of years ago, I think, you had to put together an action plan and form a committee, and then the governor and the adjutant general proclaimed Stillwater as a Yellow Ribbon community. Can you just tell us just a little bit about that process?
Well, we are actually the second proclaimed Yellow Ribbon community in the state of Minnesota. And you work with the various areas of your community, the schools, the local units of government, public service groups, the churches, and different things like that. And you put together a plan where you look at ways of supporting our service members or deployed service members and their families. And put together the plan, we try to follow that plan, and we review that plan periodically in ways that we can help people.
And Mike, I understand that in Stillwater, you were the home to a National Guard armory for many years, and there's a new armory being under construction?
Right. We're looking at a new armory on the west side of town. In conjunction with the armory, we're looking at putting a fire station in there and making it a true community facility. Stillwater has a rich heritage in supporting the military, and we'd like to keep that tradition alive.
So Stillwater's in the process of building or constructing a new armory facility for the 1st Brigade Combat Team Special Troops Battalion of the 34th Infantry so that the National Guard can move the battalion back home.
Well, we're welcoming him home. It'd be great to have him there.
Mike, in the coming up segment, we're going to talk about this pheasant hunt, but you told me a story off the air about a soldier who returned from Iraq and wanted to go hunting. Can you tell me about that again?
Well, it was two Veterans Days ago. I went to out for breakfast with my wife and ran into our County Commissioner Gary Kriesel and his brother Buzz, who was a former Army service member, and Chaplain Morris. And they had a soldier there that had been wounded in Iraq, and he'd been in Walter Reed Hospital for over a year. And he just came home, and they said, well, you've got to meet Mike if you want to go hunting, because I'm an avid hunter. And I met the soldier, and he said, I'm going pheasant hunting tomorrow morning, and would you like to come along? So picked him up, and we went up to Wild Wings Game Farm and set him up with a cart up there that could handle his guns, and we got him his first pheasant of his life. He was absolutely thrilled, and after that, I was going to check out one of my tree stands, and I put him in a spot where we saw some geese, and I said, I'm going to go out and chase these geese over you, and whatever you do, don't flock shoot the geese. And I went out and chased the geese right over him, and he actually got his first goose. So he got the double whammy on the first day. He got a goose and a pheasant, and he was just absolutely thrilled.
And now he probably thinks hunting's easy, doesn't he?
Oh, he thinks it's real easy. So
it's great if you can sit in one spot and have a bunch of guys chase in the whole animals.
And we've actually remained good friends since then. And it was really gratifying to see a service member that had lost the use of his legs or had damaged legs and be able to get out and hunt and enjoy life again. It was really gratifying.
And I'm not surprised to hear about Chaplain Morris. He's everywhere, but he's always over in Stillwater helping you guys out, too.
He's a wonderful guy. He's really supportive of all the service members.
Mike, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the upcoming Welcome Home Troops Pheasant Hunt at the Wild Wings Club. Is that where it is?
Wild Wings Game Farm in Hugo.
All right, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about that. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Mike Polina from the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon Network. Mike, we mentioned in the first part that the Stillwater is building a new armory for the 1st Brigade Combat Team, Special Troops Battalion, and 34th Infantry, and National Guard is committed to moving the battalion back home. You do have a long history with the National Guard in Stillwater.
That's correct.
And I know that when they came home recently, I don't know if that was the most recent deployment or the one before, there was a little parade in town, wasn't there?
Yeah, the first deployment. The community got together and decided we wanted to welcome the busloads of troops home correctly. So we had a banner put across our street, welcome back 34th Red Bulls. And we got the word out to the community, and they lined the streets with flags, American flags, and waved it as the troops as the buses came into town. And it was really gratifying to see all the members of our community come out to help support the troops.
Did it surprise the troops a little bit that day?
It surprised them, and there was actually a few troops that got off the bus that were absolutely thrilled and had tears in their eyes that the community would come out there and remember them like that.
Things have changed in the last 40 years, and it's all positive, isn't it?
You bet.
Now, I know we had another, unfortunately, the Minnesota National Guard lost a few troops from Stillwater, too, didn't they?
Right. That was three troops or service members lost their lives in Iraq, and the word spread what had happened. And the community decided to have a silent vigil at our Veterans Memorial in town, and hundreds of community members came out and had a vigil to support the families and the troops in their memory.
Well, Stillwater's a great city and a good Yellow Ribbon Network community. And, of course, now you've started this Welcome Home Troops Pheasant Hunt, and this is the second one coming up?
This will be our second hunt. We did one when the guys first got back, troops first got back from Iraq.
Well, this is what your promos say. It's a welcome return to the hunt and to a tradition lost to war, where sentiments expressed by soldiers in the 2010 Welcome Home to the Troops Pheasant Hunt. The returning 1st Brigade Combat Team has lost several hunting seasons due to war since September 11, 2001, having been deployed four of the last 10 years to Bosnia, Kosovo, Egypt, and the largest serving combat tour in Iraq in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom from 2005-2007. A lot of these Minnesotans just love their falls because they like to get out and hunt.
Well, we thought it was important that we have the privilege of being able to hunt and fish and do whatever we want to do in the field. And we thought these people have given up so much for us that it was important that we give back to them. And we decided we were going to put on a hunt, and we did. And it was just a wonderful day for 100 service members to go out and enjoy some pheasant hunting in the field with guides and shooting lessons from the world champion Sporting Clays team member. Some of our local distributors of firearms were there to provide ammunition and buy guns and whatever, and it was just a wonderful day for everybody.
Now, Mike, how did that first hunt come about? Was that because of you and your good friend Chuck Haas, who's just had an incident with the truck that he won't do again? So I should add to their listeners, Chuck's going to be just fine.
Chuck, like I said, Chuck and I were avid hunters, and we thought it would be really something special if our communities got together, our Yellow Ribbon groups got together and provided a pheasant hunt to give them the opportunity to get out and get in the field again.
So that was you and Chuck, the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon Network and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network.
Correct, correct.
And then quite a few sponsors, I would guess.
We were very fortunate. A lot of different companies around Minnesota helped support us. We raised like $25,000 to put an all expense paid hunt for the troops. And it was just a wonderful day. The game farm we went to, Wild Wings of Wanika, set up the hunt for us. Their guides all volunteered their time. A lot of community members came out to support the troops. We had a wonderful wild game dinner for them. Like I said, we had Sporting Clays for them, shooting lessons, everything. It was just a great day.
And how many troops participated in that first
hunt? We had 100 the first hunt.
100 troops and probably 100 volunteers.
That's right. That's how it went.
So you've got another one coming up, and I understand it's Saturday and Sunday, October 20th and 21st.
That's correct.
And it'll be at Wild Wings of Onika?
Yes, it will be.
Can you tell me about that? I'm not familiar with Wild Wings.
Wild Wings is a game farm in Hugo, actually, in northern Washington County.
And leave it to Chuck to have close at home, right?
Yeah, that's right. He's almost right out his back door.
I believe you.
So they have a wonderful field, and it's all set up perfectly. They have a nice clubhouse and a restaurant, and it's just going to be a nice event. And the Sporting Clays course is all set up and all ready to go. So just trying to put the final plans onto the for the hunt. We've raised over $40,000, and we can accommodate right now, I think, about 146 troops, and we're hoping to raise another $10,000 so we can accommodate the full complement of 200 troops.
We're speaking with Mike Polina from the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon community about the Welcome Home Troops Pheasant Hunt on Minnesota Military Radio. And, of course, Chuck Haas from Hugo is supposed to be with us today, so you're going to have to do all the heavy lifting and finish this up yourself, Mike.
Oh, I hope so.
So you said we can handle up to 146 veterans or troops.
Well, right now we've raised enough money to have 146 troops. We're hoping to raise enough to have for 200.
How are the signups coming, and how many more can you handle?
Well, we can handle, right now we've only have 50 soldiers signed up, and we can handle probably 150 more.
So all our listeners, call all those veterans and National Guard troops, whoever's out there that likes to hunt. This is going to be quite an event. Can you tell us about the 2 days? How's it going to work?
Well, what we have planned is we're breaking into squads of 50 per time. And so while 50 people are shooting Sporting Clays, the other 50 people will be hunting. And so that's a two-day thing. And so they'll be coming out. We'll assign them either a field or we'll assign them a Sporting Clays. So we'll have a luncheon, a wild game luncheon prepared for them in between the shooting and the hunting. So we just rotate it around. We've got all the guides are donated by Wild Wings. We've got Randy Brewer, who I call Minnesota's tallest pheasant hunter, is one of our honorary guides. Former Vikings are hopefully going to be there again, so it should be a great event.
Mike, I see from here, looking at your brochure, and you've got several levels of sponsorship, but to sponsor one soldier or veteran, this is open to all services, correct?
It's all services, but they were recently deployed.
So for $200, you can sponsor one shooter, and it includes the birds, bird cleaning, round of sporting clays, shells, guide dog, and wild game dinner for that shooter, if we want to call him that.
Yeah.
And you've got different levels of sponsorship. You're still looking for more sponsors?
We're looking for more field sponsors. We're looking, we have two different levels of field sponsors, one of $1,000 and one for $1,200, which goes to supporting one field. So with a field sponsor, you'll be able to hunt actually with the troops. And the difference in the price means is the $1,000 is for a smaller field, less troops. The $1,200 is for an extra troop. So with the sponsorship comes the opportunity to hunt with the service members.
So if you're a sponsor and you like to hunt, you can come out and join four or five troops and spend the day and shoot and have dinner and have a fine afternoon.
And have a great time.
All right. Once again, that's Saturday and Sunday, October 20th and 21st. And where do they go for more information? How do they sign up?
They can contact Chuck Haas, and Chuck's phone number is 651-247-0354. Again, that's 651-247-0354. Or contact Chuck at charles.haas. Haas is spelled H-A-A-S 27 at gmail.com.
So, Mike, since you did all the heavy lifting on the radio today, we're going to make Chuck talk to all the people who want to participate. But our listeners can also go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org because there's a brochure posted there, and it's a little easier to remember all the things we've said.
You can find everything there.
Mike, we're just about out of time, about 30 seconds. Any final thoughts about the hunt and our friend Chuck Haas?
No, it's I hope we wish Chuck all the best. I hope he recuperates quickly, and we need him back to help finish the final touches on this hunt.
I hope he'll be out of the hospital quick, and I'm sure he'll be there chasing you around.
That's great.
Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Mike Polina from the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon Program talking about the Welcome Home Troops Pheasant Hunt. Once again, there's a brochure available on that at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Just one mention today, the Chanhassen American Legion Post 580 invites you to attend a fundraiser for Helping Paws, a service dog organization, on September 25th. Their special guest will be Louis Montalvan, author of New York Times bestseller Until Tuesday. Louis will be escorted by Tuesday, the golden retriever that saved him. There will be a silent auction, appetizers, cash bar, and dinner. Reservation deadline is Wednesday. For information and reservations, contact Pam Anderson from Helping Paws at 952-988-9359, extension 12. That's 952-988-9359, extension 12, or visit helpingpaws.org, and of course, we'll have the flyer posted on our Facebook. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Abby Gowertz and Thad Schunkweiler, Mike Polina, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about emergency preparedness programs from the Minnesota National Guard's 55th Civil Support Team to respond to natural and man-made disasters, and a new initiative that significantly increases the number of veteran-owned firms who can bid on MnDOT projects. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.